to Nancy's Bookshelf, a program of conversation and readings with local and regional writers. Now, here's your host, Nancy Wigman.
My guests today have all walked the medieval pilgrimage route across Spain to Santiago de Compostela, and two have produced documentaries. I spoke to Lydia Smith about her documentary and how actors Martin Sheen and his son Emilio Estevez consulted Lydia's film when making their movie about the Camino. One of the six pilgrims featured in Lydia's documentary was Annie O'Neill, who has produced and directed her own documentary. Annie O'Neill, welcome.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to be here.
I've also invited two local pilgrims, Dr. Joe Matthews and his wife, Terry, to join Annie and me. Welcome, Joe and Terry.
Thank you very much.
Good to be here.
Well, how in the world, Annie, did you happen to come to Chico? We know you showed a documentary film at Enloe Conference Center this month. Earlier, you showed that film. But how did you happen to come to Chico to show that film?
Well, I really love my film, Phil's Camino, and I really feel like it's almost like a calling to have people see this film. So I try and make myself as available as possible when someone asks, could you be there? Would you come and do a Q&A? So, you know, I grew up in New York, and there was an old saying that one of these big New York City socialites, she would always go to everything. They said she would go to the opening of a door. And I'm kind of like that with the Camino. If something is going on with the Camino, I'd like to go and I'd like to bring Phil's Camino.
Well, I think, and when I first heard about this, I thought, I know somebody who has connections with Enloe and the local chapter of American Pilgrims on the Camino, and that happens to be Dr. Joe Matthews. And I suspected before I had confirmation that he was the one behind inviting you to Chico. Is that true, Dr. Matthews?
Well, actually, the one who brought it to our attention was Barbara Schultz, who's the co-director for our club, the American Pilgrims on the Camino. And she brought it up to, I think it was one of our dinners. We have a tapa dinner once a month. And she was sitting there talking. He says, I got this great movie. You got to see it. And I said, what it's about? And he said, it's about a cancer patient. And I said, well, tell me a little more about the story. And I just fell in love with it. And I haven't even seen it yet. So essentially, I said, tell me more about it. And then I got on the internet and Googled a lot of stuff and went on YouTube and looked at some of the interviews, and I said, this is perfect. So I decided to talk to the hospital. Barbara was thinking that we'd have a place of 15 or 20 people. And I said, well, let's see what we can do. And I talked to the head administrators at the hospital, and they said, this is perfect. And I said, it is. We're a plane tree hospital in bodies, mind, body, and soul. And I said, this fits in perfect. And then they said, the only problem is we're putting in a new computer system, Epic. And I said, okay, give me a day, just any day. And they said, okay, we'll make it a Friday. And I said, I'll take it. And it's just blossomed from there. So we had a great time getting this ready. And then all of a sudden, Annie said, and I'll come. And I'm going, you got to be kidding.
My guest just telling us how this event came about was Dr. Joe Matthews. And he was referring to Annie O'Neill, who made this documentary film. And also in the studio is Terry Matthews, who has walked the Camino. All of us have walked the Camino. So when you talk about this man who walked it, who had this dream of walking it, even though he had cancer, I know of a lot of people who have overcome, if I want to use that word, obstacles that other people might consider, well, I guess I can't do that because I've got fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And yet there are so many stories of people who walk the Camino in spite of what they think would prevent them from doing so.
Yeah, and you know, I think Dr. Matthews hit the nail on the head. It's the story. Phil's story, it hooked me. I wasn't looking to make a film about the Camino, but that story was so compelling to me. And then I asked a friend of mine who's also in the business, and I said, would you be the executive producer? And it was the same thing for him. It was the story. He works on big, huge films. He edited 20 Feet from Stardom, The Hunting Ground, Icarus, all of these big films. But he's always just looking for the story. So when he heard Phil's story and I asked him, he said, yeah, I'll come on board. That's Doug Blush. And he's been a huge asset to the whole process and for the whole project.
But, you know, I think you could talk to any given pilgrim and find a story there.
Absolutely.
Once knew an attorney from Australia, and at first he was very reserved and didn't want to say, other people were saying why they chose to walk the Camino. And eventually he said, well, my wife of 40 years just left me, and so I'm going walking this Camino. And people do that when they change, lose a job or their lifestyle changes, and they walk this Camino. And Terry, I don't think you would mind me saying, because you wrote a book about your experiences some years ago, a very helpful book for cancer patients and families.
And I did.
And so you can probably understand Phil's situation. Here's a man with cancer. You just, I have to tell listeners now, you are perfectly healthy at all appearances. But I bet there was a time when you could never have imagined yourself walking this Camino.
Yes, that's right. There was a time I couldn't imagine myself being alive this many years later. And to be able to do this now, for me, walking the Camino is a way of giving thanks for my health. And many people walk for that reason.
Yeah. My guests are two local pilgrims, Dr. Joe Matthews, his wife Terry Matthews, and filmmaker, producer, director, Annie O'Neill, who was featured in the movie, a documentary by Lydia Smith. And when I saw the Martin Sheen movie with Emilio Estevez, and I almost dreaded seeing it because I thought, oh, they're going to Hollywoodize it. It's not going to be true to the spirit of the pilgrimage. And when I saw that movie, I thought, they got it right. They got it right. And then I found out how they got it right. It was thanks to people like you sharing your stories in Lydia's documentary.
Yeah, they used, when we first got back in 2009 from the whole shoot in Spain, and, you know, it was a shoot, but it was a Camino experience for everyone involved. It was not reality TV. We would see Lydia and the crew about once a week. And when we got back, Lydia wanted to raise funds, so she and the editor put together a 22-minute fundraising trailer. And that's what she ended up sharing with Emilio and Martin Sheen to give them a sense of what it's actually like for people who just put a backpack on and start walking west.
Well, I mentioned that her documentary has won a lot of awards, but so has yours.
Yes.
And yours is newer. What are some of the awards that your film has won?
Well, this is kind of going off way past dreams come true territory. We were accepted at South by Southwest for our world premiere, which is kind of like getting struck by lightning. And then we were one of the five films chosen to be nominated for a grand jury prize. And then we've won awards at the Palm Springs Short Fest. We won awards at, so many film festivals. We won an award at Black Hills. We won an award at Julian Dubuque. We won an award at... we've won about 20, and here I am blanking on them. But, you know, it's a nice mix also of jury prize awards and audience choice awards. We won a humanitarian award at the Flickers Festival in Rhode Island, which I thought that was really nice, a humanitarian award, like that this film is helping humanity. All of them are just such great honors.
Let me tell the name of your documentary again is Phil's Camino. And Phil was a Marine who lived in Washington State. And the very fact that you learned about this Marine named Phil, who wanted to walk the Camino in spite of stage 4 cancer, was rather serendipitous.
Oh, absolutely. I had posted something. Walking the Camino was doing really well, much to everyone's surprise. All of the theaters were like, well, we'll try it for a week. And then people would come out, and so they would extend it and extend it. And in Seattle, it got extended for 11 weeks. So I had posted something like, thank you, Seattle, that's great, and I hope to make it up there at some point. And Phil's wife wrote, oh, Annie, my husband has stage 4 cancer, and we saw Walking the Camino, and we loved it, and he's watching it all the time now. And then Phil wrote to me, and he wrote me a letter like almost no other letter I've ever gotten. It was pure Phil, and he was like, he didn't even do Facebook. So his wife was like, Phil doesn't do Facebook, but here he is. And he said, hi, I don't know what Rebecca told you about my deal here, but every day I don't have treatment, I walk, and it's 0.88 kilometers, and I'm keeping track on a map of Spain of where I am. Right now, I'm just outside of Burgos.
So and he creates this Camino, this mm-hmm. little short version in his own on his own property.
On his property into a forest, and it goes over a stream. It's really beautiful. And he's very meticulous with his record, so he knew exactly where he was. And then in the letter, he said something like, at first, I was trying to conquer the Camino. Now I'm just happy to be walking it. And he said, my local priest came and blessed it, so it's all kosher. And then he ended with, come walk with me. Love, Phil. And just in one of these serendipitous ways that people who walk the Camino get very used to, no less delighted, but we're just like, oh, yeah, that's happening again. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that my husband had bought us tickets to fly in and out of Seattle when he was speaking in Vancouver. So instead of flying in and out of Vancouver, he said, why don't we fly in and out of Seattle? And this had been like 6 months or a year before. So I said, sure, honey, whatever. So 2 weeks after Phil wrote to me, I was in his backyard, walking his backyard Camino, thinking, somebody's got to make a film about this guy. This is great. And I wanted to make a short film because he's got stage 4 cancer. I wanted him to be able to see it. And it really just felt like the right thing to do, to make a short film about this guy's little corner of the world and his amazing story. You know, we all, like you mentioned, we all get a big no in one way or another. Either no, you're not going to have good health, or no, you're not going to have that job, or no, you're not going to have that marriage. But he did something with that no that ended up being so much bigger and so much better. And that's what I wanted to capture. So I think that's what resonates with people. That's why we've had so much success and people are so moved by the film.
My guest Annie O'Neill is telling us about her documentary film that she directed and produced, Phil's Camino. And Phil was a real person who lived in Washington State who dreamed of walking the Camino. And when you saw this story there, that you made a documentary that's been very successful, and people really appreciate the work that you put into this. Now, the fact that you were invited here by, well, two hosts, the Enloe Hospital Medical Center, and also the local chapter of American Pilgrims on the Camino, they hosted your visit to Chico. And you might think, well, what is a hospital doing, a medical center doing, sponsoring this event about a pilgrimage across Spain? How do you, Terry, you're smiling. Terry Matthews is one of the local pilgrims who are here. And how could the hospital say, yeah, this is why we did this?
I think it's an affirmation of the power of spirit to impact your physical health. I think that's a piece of our health picture that's sometimes lost in the testing and the treatments and the physical stuff. And actually, the spiritual and the emotional, the mental component of health is so important. And the sicker you are, I believe, the more important it is. And so I think this is living out the hospital's philosophy, and also medicine in general is becoming aware how important it is to tend to the whole person. So I'm very glad that they agreed to work with this.
Joe, you wanted to say something. This is Dr. Joe Matthews.
So essentially, when I first started reading up on Annie and the letters that she'd written, the original letter was, I don't have any money for this film, and I'm bringing this guy all the way to Spain. I need help. And I thought, wow, what a message. And then what she also said was, then I'm going to take this information and give it to the oncologist who treat these patients. And I think the message that it came across to me is that everyone in the world thinks they want to be cured, and some people don't. But what the biggest message is, you can be healed. And I think that that was the message that, that came across very, very, very well. And I think that I think that's why people need to see the movie.
Yeah, it's really been amazing to see doctors see this film. And I think it's been really rewarding for them, because I think they all know the importance of that, whether you want to call it spiritual side or the soul side or just the emotional side. It can get buried under all of the medical stuff that has to also happen. And we tend to, as a society, think of either or. Or I think there's a general feeling of that. And most doctors that I know don't think in either or. They think in and, you know, this and. And I think that that's what Phil really, really got. And he was led by his doctor. He loves his entire medical team, which, by the way, starts with the security guard when you enter the hospital. That's part of his medical team. And you know, I was telling Dr. Matthews about that, and he said, yeah, that's our philosophy also. That's, you know, it's a whole team to treat a whole person. And I think that there's just more and more awareness of that. And I want Phil's Camino to be shown at every hospital, because I think it's really, if I were in that position, I would want to see some guy do what Phil did.
After a short break, documentary producer, director, and author Annie O'Neill and local pilgrims Joe and Terry Matthews will be back to continue our conversation about the Camino de Santiago. You're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. I'm Nancy Wigman. I'm Nancy Wigman, and you're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. My guests today are documentary filmmaker Annie O'Neill, author of the book Everyday Camino with Annie. Also, local pilgrims, retired surgeon Joe Matthews and his wife Terry Matthews, are recounting their experiences on the Camino. Now, you mentioned the doctors, and if I'm not mistaken, the kind of cancer that Phil has had is also related to Dr. Matthews' career as a surgeon. Dr. Matthews, what was that kind of ironic connection?
Well, originally we thought that Phil had pancreatic cancer, and people don't live over about 6 months and die. And then all of a sudden I said, okay, who is this Phil? So I started searching around and found out his first and last name. Found out that some of the surgeons that operated him are friends of mine who are at Swedish Hospital in Seattle. And we're in a group together, so I know them intimately. And
because of your specialty.
Right. And so essentially, I'm a colorectal surgeon, and when I heard Phil had colon cancer, it just sparked it even more that we needed to get this film here. it turns out in March we have this thing of awareness for colon cancer. It's a little early, but I can tell you nothing is early in colon cancer. So the earlier you can be detected, the better. But I think that the message here was colon cancer, but I think the real message was, I don't know if I'm going to get cured, but I'm going to be healed. And I think that that was important.
And I think that's gratifying for physicians who often are frustrated with, they administer treatments, the best treatment they know, but feel that I'm not healing this patient. I'm administering the best treatment available to me, but I'm not healing the patient.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's not a medicine. Sometimes it's not a surgery. Sometimes it's holding hands and looking at their face and talking to them. And I think one of the things that I just brought out recently to the hospital is a statement that was made by a doctor from Ireland. And he said, what matters to you? And I think that that is very, very important for a doctor, not only to say, you know, what these are our treatments, but then what matters to you? What is going to be important? And I think in Phil's life, it was, I'm going to walk this Camino.
Well, and I think the Camino does change your priorities when you answer that question, what is important to you now? And then you walk the Camino and you might find that person has changed what is important to them.
Yes. I asked Annie? Phil's wife how much he changed by walking the Camino. And Phil's wife is in the film and is a remarkable human being in her own right. And she kind of thought for a minute and she goes, 85%. It changed 85%. Mm-hmm. She's always thought that was such a funny number. But, you know, he really changed. He changed walking in his backyard. He changed over the course of making this film. He's changed. Phil likes to say that he has the lab and I wrote the textbook, because my book is about how you can have your Camino right here, right now. When I got back from walking the Camino, people would say, oh, how was it? And I kept thinking, wrong tense. This is it right now. This is my Camino moment, your Camino moment right now. So I was writing the book, and it was based on my experiences, and it's kind of a 40-day meditative journey. And I didn't know how it was going to end, even though I had my journal from when I walked. But I just felt like something is going to really happen. And I met Phil. And Phil, in that letter that he wrote me initially, I used a quote from that letter as the quote that starts off day 40. So I ended my book with Phil. And then, you know, every ending is a new beginning. Then after we bonded, he finally, because I would say to him, you know, Phil, I think I could make a good little film about you. And he would say, are you crazy? I'm just a guy walking in the mud. There's no story here. He didn't get
appropriate for an ex-Marine in the mud.
Right. He didn't get how great what he was doing was, but I did. So I was able to. We really bonded over. I proofread the book by sending out each day, one day at a time, to a bunch of friends, and he was one of those people. So after 40 days of walking together, he was like, "All right, maybe you could do a film on me."
Since you mentioned your book, I'm going to give the title again, Everyday Camino with Annie. And this is Annie's book. You wrote it to help people who are walking, who plan to walk the Camino. In what way is your book useful?
Well, I wrote it for everyone because I think there's a lot of people who want to walk the Camino who won't be able to for whatever reason. There's a myriad of reasons. And it really isn't happening only in Spain. Like, that would be crazy if, like, the only place you could have a spiritual awakening is along the Camino in Spain. So what I wanted to do was make the Camino and some of its specialness available to everyone wherever they are. And I guess one of the, you know, people have written me so many lovely things. People are really wonderful. But one of the best was a friend of mine. She has two sisters and a mom. She lives in L.A., and her sister... One sister's in PA and the other's in New Jersey, and her mom's in New Jersey. And she said, we're walking the Camino together. You know, they all had a book. Each day they would just read that one day. and her mother, she says, is a world-class complainer. And she had some health issues. And so she heard about it from her sister, and she saw that her mom was calling her one day, and she's like, okay, here it comes, the tidal wave of what's wrong. And her mom said, you know what? It's my Camino. And I know her mom, so I know what a miracle that is. And it just, you know, that's really gratifying, because that is true. All of our challenges, it's just another hill on the Camino, or it's another long stretch with no water. If we can do it there, we can do it here, and vice versa. And I love that people anywhere. And so when I met Phil, I said to him, I think I'm writing my book for you. Because here's a guy who's never going to go. He goes to treatments every 2 weeks. And then the miracle happened. You have to come see the film.
My guests are all pilgrims, Dr. Joe Matthews and his wife, Terry Matthews, that have walked the Camino. You'll be going back for your third time, I believe, the next trip.
Correct, in April.
And Annie O'Neill, who was featured in a documentary, Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago. And when you walk this Camino, things happen that you could not anticipate, wonderful things that happened. The kindness of other pilgrims is just really touching. And it seems like whenever there's something you need, that need is provided. And it seems, the whole thing seems like a miracle. And so I begin to think, gosh, we're all pilgrims. We're all pilgrims. I'm not a tourist. When I go to walk the Camino, I'm a pilgrim. And when I come back, I'm still a pilgrim.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting. One of the books they said or suggested to read before was called Anam Cara, by a guy named O'Donohue. And it's an excellent book. It's about the Celtic wisdom and spirit. And essentially what he said is, you know, you didn't get on this earth just by chance. And essentially when you walk the Camino, you don't walk by chance either. You walk with other people, and you don't know who they are. And one incident where a gentleman from Singapore, China, walked up to me in the fog on an old Roman bridge and said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm from California." And he said, "Well, I'm from Singapore." I said, "Well, what are you walking the Camino for?" He says, "Well, I had a bad back. The surgeons operated on me. It's gone, and I'm paying God back for my health." And I said, "Gee, that's wonderful." He said, "Well, where in California?" And I said, "Chico." He said, "My brother lived in Chico." And I'm thinking, how can somebody from China talking to somebody in California on a bridge in Spain be anything other than... Anam Cara means his soul friend. And essentially, that's essentially what it was. It's everybody you walked into, I didn't know who they were, but we could start talking as if we were friends. And it was a beautiful experience. I think what I learned the most out of it, though, was a virtue. And the virtue was grace. And essentially, I walked, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I'd been doing other walks, and I think the most I'd walked before had been about 120 miles. But there were so many ifs when I started. And then when I started up the mountain to go to Os Sobrero, I said, this is hard. This is tough. And then I thought, you know, there are a lot of people in life that live this way. Mm-hmm. And the way they do it is with grace. And it may be pain, but they live through it and they can make it. And I think that that was really important. The last day, we were walking into Santiago, and it was torrential rains. It must have been just downpours, and we were soaked like little puppies. And we're walking in, and then the wind started up. And now we had 40-mile-an-hour winds and this rain. And I said, somebody's telling me I'm not going to make it. I said, they're not going to win. I'm going to make it. And we did.
I found that things that we take for granted, like a dry place to lay your head at night or food when you need it, that as a pilgrim, I didn't take those things for granted because you didn't know. I mean, we didn't have advanced reservations. In the hostels, you can't. You wait in line. And you just think, oh, great, a dry place, a warm place to spend the night. And I remember one day when stores are closed, oh, I've got this piece of chocolate in my pocket, this little tiny piece of chocolate, and it was just so wonderful. And I found myself being so grateful for things that people take for granted in our ordinary life here in the United States. Annie?
I still get a little shiver of joy when I step out of the shower and put my feet on a bath mat because there were no bath mats when I was walking. And I yearned for a bath mat. And every day I still am so delighted that I get to step out of the shower onto a bath mat. So it is. It's the little things and the big things. It's a really, I think when you said you go on pilgrimage, that's a lot of it, because that's what we can decide any day of the week. You know, today's a pilgrimage. Today I'm serving others. Today I'm going to find something. Today I'm going to release something. And any day and every day, we can have it be a pilgrimage.
I wanted to ask Terry, when your experience of walking the Camino, were you somewhat, I think both of you were a little bit hesitant to make that first trip, think, oh, what if this, what if that? What was your experience?
I was less hesitant than Joe. I felt very called to do it. I had a very short bucket list. The only thing I wanted to do was walk the Camino. And my expectations for myself were that I would do the best I could. If it took me 6 hours or 8 hours or 10 hours to walk that day's journey, it was okay. I wasn't competing with anyone. I was just doing the best I could do, and the grace would be given me to do that. And so I was less hesitant than Joe. I also was very aware of my own limitations. So I trained for about a year before our first walk. I knew that I would not be able to just jump right in and do it the first try. So I trained very conscientiously.
And you also had experience with wilderness hiking, backpacking.
We did. That was in our remote past, not in our recent past.
Well, I might mention to people who are maybe considering the Camino that you spent a year preparing. I had 2 weeks to, I didn't even have hiking shoes. I didn't have a backpack. And my husband said, oh, here, I've got a spare backpack. Let's go buy you some shoes. And we were off. And I had never been a wilderness hiker, backpacker, but the Camino is quite different from that. And I found that I, who didn't know I loved hiking, and I don't know if I'd even call it hiking, but I didn't know that I loved walking like that. But you're out, the parts that we walk are just beautiful, just breathtakingly beautiful. And back when we first walked it, there were not as many pilgrims. And then I know you have, I think, walked across France from Le Puy toward Santiago, which is beautiful too, because fewer pilgrims walk that area. And what was your experience walking in France as opposed to walking across Spain?
We underestimated the difficulty of the terrain. I did not realize how steeply up and down it was. And that was a learning experience. We discovered that we would pay much closer attention to the changes in elevation.
Because there are guidebooks that tell you,
yes. And so, and we also learned that the next time we go, we're not going to plan to go as many miles a day. We will enjoy it more if we go a little bit more at our best pace.
But it's a UNESCO Heritage Trail. It's a beautiful trail. It's called GR65.
Which means Grand Randonnée. The French system says great hiking trails.
And it was beautiful. It was over an area called the Mastiff, which is a huge shield volcano. But we didn't realize that glaciers had cut through that. And so essentially we'd be going along, and then all of a sudden it would drop 2,000 feet. And then you would go probably a quarter mile, then go up 2,000 feet, getting back onto the original volcano. But it was beautiful, and it looked like we were walking through the 16th century throughout the whole trip.
Well, one of the accommodations happened to be a buffalo farm in France, where she raised critters to have mozzarella cheese made. And so the next morning, the hostess says, well, how far are you walking today? And when we said, we're at the next town, and she said, she started laughing. She said, that's too short. And we said, oh, maybe she just said, she's speaking in French. She says, that's short. And we said, yeah, we know. So just like you were saying, next time you're going to plan, give yourself more time and not plan to walk so far in one day. After a short break, documentary producer, director, and author Annie O'Neill and local pilgrims Joe and Terry Matthews will be back to continue our conversation about the Camino de Santiago. You're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. I'm Nancy Wigman. I'm Nancy Wigman, and you're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. My guests today are documentary filmmaker Annie O'Neill, author of the book Everyday Camino with Annie. Also, local pilgrims, retired surgeon Joe Matthews and his wife Terry Matthews, are recounting their experiences on the Camino. Annie, when you talk to other pilgrims, what stories, besides Phil's story, that's the main one that stands out, if you were going to write another book or make another film, have any of the stories of the pilgrims struck you that you would like to record?
Oh, boy. There are so many. There are so many. And, you know, like you said, in this room, there are so many. And I think that's one of the things that you learn doing documentary film is every single person you meet, you could make a film about because there's some part of their life that is just extraordinary. You know, yesterday I was very fortunate. I was invited to lunch by a pilgrim that I had never met, and she brought three other pilgrims with her. So there was a group of five of us. And she had walked with those three ladies, those three women. And she had walked the Camino more than once. Before she walked with those ladies, she had walked with a picture of one of those ladies' daughters, who had been murdered. And she brought it to the Cruz de Ferro. And that was very meaningful for these three sisters, for their daughter and their niece. And then they ended up going also the following year. They all walked the Camino together. And while I am not a person who walked to heal a tragedy, there certainly are. And there are a lot of people who lose children who walk. One of these,
as depicted in the movie that Martin Sheen made.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of these, so the woman who lost her daughter, her daughter was murdered at age 21, she wants to get other mothers whose children have been murdered and walk the Camino. So I thought that was a pretty amazing story. That would be something incredible to film. But I am making other films. It's not just Camino films. But I am very lucky to have been part of both of the films that I made. They're amazing stories. They're amazing works of art. But I have another film that's in film festivals now and another film that I'm halfway through filming. And we're making an extended version of Phil's Camino. Because I wanted to get this film done very quickly. You know, a short film was the way to go. Films are very expensive to make, and I had to just trust St. James that I would find a way to finance it, and I did. And now we have the luxury of going back, and we're adding in some of the other scenes so that we can have an hour-long version that'll be for television, especially international television, and for a theatrical run. So I'm right back in the fundraising mode that I started with.
Well, let remind listeners that your documentary is Phil's Camino. You are also one of the pilgrims featured in a previous documentary by Lydia Smith. You were one of the six pilgrims that she told their stories of the Camino. And that you also have a book, Everyday Camino with Annie, that you wrote for people, even if they don't plan to walk the Camino, this book. So what kind of information do you convey in your book, Everyday Camino with Annie?
I do have a map of the Camino, and I do reference where I was on each day because I journal. But it's really not information. It's really a spiritual, meditative journey that you can take for 40 days. So it's some of the lessons that I learned. It's each day starts with a quote from anyone from, you know, we even have a Yogi Berra quote put in there. But it's a spiritual quote, and then I write an essay. And the idea is you read one day at a time, just like you would walk the Camino one day at a time. Although people have written me a letter saying, I got your book the other day and I just finished it. It's your book, you get to do what you want. But the idea is the spiritual, because that's something we can access everywhere. And that is something that I think when, you know, I've met so many pilgrims, first touring with Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago, and then with Phil's Camino, and people say, I'm getting ready, how do I prepare? And I say, certainly the physical, you know, it's a physical endeavor. And second, brush up on your Spanish. And third, prepare yourself spiritually, whatever that means to you. You know, Phil has a, he was working with an 83-year-old nun as his spiritual advisor. And I think that was a big part of what he went through and what brought him to the Camino. And for me, I worked with the spiritual practitioner. And I think the more you prepare in those three ways, the easier your Camino is, the more you can kind of mine the riches. There's riches in the pain, too. And goodness knows I had a lot of pain. But it's just a good way to prepare. So this is really the kind of the spiritual preparation. So
well, I was a reluctant pilgrim, very reluctant. In fact, for years I would ask my husband, "Oh, get Ed to walk it with you, get Rex to walk it with you," and then finally it dawned on me one day, no, he wants me to walk it, even though this is not what I thought was something I wanted to do. I'm going to do this for my husband, and when I did, I realized, oh my gosh, I'm doing this for myself. And I didn't realize what I was getting myself in for and how appealing it would be for me. I heard the story of a man who lived in Japan, and with the high suicide rate, he was counseling people who wanted to commit suicide, and he was just overwhelmed. So he said, I'm going to go find a remote mountain. I'm going to sit on that mountain, and if people want my counsel, they'll have to walk to get there because it's so remote. And I remember the story of one guy that when he got there, he said, I don't need your counsel anymore. The very walk here, the pilgrimage to this retreat place, I'm cured. And I think people, it's hard for them to understand if they haven't walked a pilgrimage like you have, to understand how transforming it can be.
Yeah, and you know, I sing in a choir, and I didn't put it all together until I walked the Camino. I was getting ready to walk the Camino. So many of the lyrics in the choir songs were about walking or the mountaintop or, you know, letting things go. And so I used 9 of the days in my book are quotes from choir songs. So that's what the CD that goes with the book is, those, it's those 9 songs from my choir. And they're even sweeter now, you know, to think about the mountaintop. Once you've climbed up a couple mountaintops, you realize what goes into getting up to that mountaintop.
Now, I mentioned your book, Annie. Annie O'Neill's book is Everyday Camino with Annie. I mentioned also, Terry, that you, an author, you have written a book years ago.
I actually have an updated version of my book called Cancer exploring your path. And it includes not just advice for the people who are cured, but there's a part two of the book now that talks about people that are living with cancer for the rest of their life. How do they find a way to live with joy? And so that's hot off the press.
Wow. We look forward to that. Well, now that, and Annie, you're nodding your head.
You know, one thing that I've come across showing Phil's Camino to many audiences is how many people come up to me afterwards and say, I had cancer. And that is past tense. Sometimes it's 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. So now when I have friends who get diagnosed, I tell them that. I'm like, there are so many people who live. So it's scary, but, you know, see the whole picture, too. And
Well, Joe, you certainly, I'm sure you have a book.
No, I do not have a book.
Well, not that you've started on it yet, but you have the material. You could write a book.
Well, we probably could. But when I was growing up, Terry and I were high school sweethearts. And so I got her through math. She got me through English. I call English my second language. German's my first.
Well, that's one of the things that I enjoy about the Camino. You never know when the pilgrim you're walking beside, what's going to be their first language, what country they're from. A lot of people from Brazil because of Paulo Coelho's book. I remember landing in the airport in Santiago, then taking public transportation out from there to walk in. And this guy, I don't think he spoke any English, walked over to me with a walking stick. He was getting ready to fly out of Santiago, the airport. He handed me the walking stick, and I had enough German to understand that he was passing this along, then I would be the fourth pilgrim to walk to use this walking stick. And I promised him that when I finished, I would pass it along to a pilgrim too, which I did when I got to the airport. And I was kind of torn between wanting to know more about this person I was giving the stick from. I think Spanish was her first language, but I wish now I had asked. I don't think she would have considered it intrusive to say, what country are you from or what's your name? But I always wondered then who I passed along that walking stick to. But I was so touched by this man. And in fact, he wrote me an email. This was in German, but when you know the vocabulary of the Camino, it's not a problem. And sometime later when I was walking again, he was going to be walking it with his daughter. He was pretty old then himself.
Wow. You know, there's so many mysteries on the Camino. There's so many mysteries in life. And I really like that we don't always know the person's name, or we'll see someone one day, then you don't see him again, and then you'll see him in Santiago, and then you never see him again. And you know, there's just so much mystery, and I just feel like life is so full of mystery that it's a really, it's reminding us we don't always have to know everything.
In fact, I remember talking to a Spaniard who described himself as a philosopher by avocation, and we walked along together for a few days, and then we said, well, we thought goodbye, and then lo and behold, we turn up and we run into each other again. That often happens on the Camino. And these people that you meet are just, like you say, they all have stories to tell.
Terry? I'd like to make a comment about the mystery. I think that is so true, that on the Camino in Spain or wherever you are, you're in touch then with the mystery that is surrounding you every day, but you don't see it because you're so busy, you're so distracted. That's one of the gifts of the Camino.
It is, because you don't have to really, well, you don't have to plan your wardrobe. I had a dry shirt and a wet shirt. You know, you're wearing the dry shirt the night you wash out the other shirt. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to wonder, which direction am I going to go? There's a yellow arrow that tells you, put this foot in front of the other, follow this yellow arrow. And so the normal concerns that might concern you in your daily life here in the United States, none of that is a concern. And you can just focus on this one step, this one breath, and be surrounded by such beauty or such kind, compassionate people that that it's a meditation that I think is helpful. In fact, the medical profession now is getting behind mindfulness meditation. And so I can see, I'm pleased that Inlo Medical Center recognizes the value of something like a pilgrimage. Joe?
We've come a long way. 15, 20 years ago, I couldn't have told you that. But now we have so many programs that involve meditation, animals, smell, everything under the sun. That we, at first, you said, you know, I didn't learn that in medicine. But now it's part of our medicine.
Annie?
And you know, when you talk about this idea of letting go of what you have to wear, where you're gonna, where do you have to be, get in the car, get gas, to answer the phone, answer the text, answer the email. When you let go of all of that, what is there? What is left? That's one of the things that I think is the gift of the Camino, is you get to say, yeah, what is there? What am I if I'm not working every day? Who am I if I'm not with my husband or wife or family? And you just get to take time to reacquaint yourself with who and whose you really are. And it's just a wonderful gift to give yourself wherever you are.
I enjoyed the fact that you were pared down to the essentials. And my backpack, the first time I went, because I used a borrowed backpack. I didn't even know that backpacks, you could fit backpacks. I didn't know there was a difference in a backpack for a man and a woman. So I had this big bulky backpack that didn't fit. After that, I got a really small backpack, and it was amazing that I could put everything I needed for however long I was there in this small backpack. And it was so liberating.
Yeah.
So liberating. I'm so glad the three of you came here to the studio. I appreciate the fact that Lydia Smith added her view of her documentary, which was Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago. And one of the featured pilgrims was Annie O'Neill. Annie O'Neill has now produced her own documentary, Phil's Camino. And she has a book, Everyday Camino with Annie. I also want to thank Terry Matthews and Joe Matthews, fellow pilgrims along the way, for coming in and sharing your experiences of the Camino Santiago. You can find this and other episodes of Nancy's Bookshelf on our website, mynspr.org. I'm Nancy Wigman.
You've been listening to Nancy's Bookshelf. Our theme music is The Mysterious Barricades by Francois Couperin, performed by Warren Haskell. Nancy's Bookshelf is a production of North State Public Radio.